For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us.
So I once heard a story about some Navy SEALs. They were on a rescue mission, and they were trying to free these hostages behind enemy lines in this especially dark and gloomy part of the world. So under the cover of night, they made their way to this compound, and they in stealth, they broke in. They got into this warehouse where they found a group of weary people who had been held captive for months on end. The room was cold, it was filthy, it was damp. And so you might imagine that as these men came in with their faces painted, holding assault rifles, locked and loaded, coming at them, that some of the hostages gasped. They were frightened. So the SEALs kind of read this and decided to stand back at a distance. And they called out to them, hey, we need to go. Come with us right now, right now. And believe it or not, none of the hostages would budge. They wouldn't move. They just sat there. They hid their faces. They looked at the floor in fear because, after all, their captors had manipulated like this before. The guards had played tricks on them. They didn't believe that they were being rescued. So the SEALs just stood there in what was a very tense moment. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't carry all of these emaciated people out all at once. They were up a creek, didn't have any paddles. So one of the SEALs, the story goes, got an idea. He put his weapon down. He took his helmet off, and then he got down on his stomach, and he crawled over to them. And he just laid there on the floor next to them. He cuddled up right next to them, got so close that he was literally touching them. And in this undignified and humble way, he just dwelled with them. He was trying to disarm them by becoming just like one of them, and then he softened the look on his face. He extended his arms. Now, after a few moments, the hostages began to realize none of our guards would do this. They have never treated us like this. And so the SEAL just sat there until their eyes slowly met his. And after enough of their eyes met, he whispered to them, I'm here with you. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm here to save you. Will you please follow me out? And the story ends happily. They believed him. The hero helped them to their feet, and they made their way gently to safety. One of the things I love about this story is the promise of presence, of being with people. That these captives weren't saved by an idea or a weapon or some abstract plan, but it was the presence. It was someone being with them. Now, if we can shift gears into Christmas for a moment, my hunch is, while we all like presents with a T, our happiest memories, especially for those of you that are older than, you know, yay high, your happiest memories have to do with presents with a C, not presents with a T, if that makes sense. I can't even remember what I got, and I have an odd memory. I can't even remember what I got when I was a kid, but when I was with the people that I loved, with proximity, that was a gift. So this is what Christmas is all about. And I think the last couple years have taught us a hard lesson that we have been unwilling participants, but we've learned it anyways. And that lesson is simply that we need presence. We need peace. We want to be together. That was the beauty of what we just heard from Matthew 1, where it said, see, the virgin will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. God is with us. Some translators will translate that name, Emmanuel, which is given here to Jesus, as God with us, minus the is, sans the is. But this includes the is. It brings in the present, that God is presently with us, which is a theologically accurate reality, by the way. And that's really helpful for us in a time that, if we are honest, is not known for being the most hopeful, positive time to be a human on this planet. We live in a time of isolation, outrage, confusion, misunderstandings, boredom, and the list goes on. So don't we want and don't we need a God who can really be with us, a God who is with us? And so whether we come in here a bit burdened by economic issues, social strife, there's issues in your family, or still living under the cloud of pandemic, sometimes it feels a bit like we are living in a hostile territory behind enemy lines. But the Bible is very clear that God understands our condition. He knows what sin has done to us, and if we can face the music, we can agree with him that sin has done things through us as well. You see, some religions, they see God as good, but he's out there. He's distant. You can't really come near. You can't really know him. But in the scriptures, it literally says, and I quote, he is actually not far from any one of us. Think about that. It's fascinating. Because we have a perfect and holy God. He wired us for perfection. We're intended for perfection in our relationships and power dynamics and in our individual character. But our sin has broken that harmony with each other. Right? We see fracture and bitterness, misinformation throughout society. We are a broken people. We are held captive. And this barrier means that we have a barrier also between God and us as well. We can't climb some ladder up to heaven, so we would only have a shot if God would somehow descend and come down to us. We just sang a line from this song where it says, come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Now this language, it harkens back to the New Testament propositions and the Old Testament prophecy saying we're in captivity, that we have a burden that we can't lift on our own. But the good news is, in stealth, behind enemy lines, the Lord made a way. Emmanuel, God is with us. This is the rescue mission that we celebrate on Christmas. If you take nothing else away from what I'm saying, take this. God's presence brings God's promises. God's presence brings God's promises. Look throughout Scripture. Wherever promises show up, there is his presence. The children's book that we just read says as much, right? That the promises of God intersect with Christmas. There's this point in the New Testament where St. Paul is talking, and he's talking about Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, God with us, right? And he says that we're supposed to have the same mindset of Jesus. This is what he says about Jesus. Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself in an undignified way. He went and he dwelled with them. He was disarming by becoming just like us. But not just that, even more, Paul continues, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Friends, this is why Christianity, we've got hype, we've got cheer. I mean, some people are rocking some awesome, ugly sweaters. I'm jealous. I feel underdressed. It is many things, but one thing Christianity is not, it's not a Hallmark holiday. It's a time to get down, for sure, but it's not a Hallmark holiday. Our present, with a T, is the presence of God. And honestly, the present that we can give to one another more than anything is probably our presence. Maybe a little less time staring at the glowing screen and just being in the moment with people. That's a very godly move, by the way. But think about this. God became flesh. He endured every temptation we faced. He's been maligned, misunderstood. I mean, I've lived life with many of you over the past year or so. We have been maligned, frustrated, misunderstood, tempted. God identifies with all that we've experienced except for one thing. He has never committed sin. So we get more than someone that we can relate to. We get someone that can redeem us. Not just a co-sufferer, but a savior, a sacrifice who can take away our sins. And so his presence, what it did is it paved the way for God's promises to be expressed and experienced in our lives. And Jesus gave some amazing, amazing promises. I want to give you three real quick. In John 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus one night. He's talking about the purpose and the victory of his life, what will come from his life. And this is what he says to Nicodemus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, that's an Old Testament reference for you Bible nerds. He says, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. So he's saying, I will be lifted up on the cross. So that, that's his purpose, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Put it another way. God's presence brings eternal life. Just like that Navy SEAL who leaned in and whispered, I'm here with you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to save you. Follow me out. Jesus leaned in the same way. And he brings not only eternal life, but he also promises to always be with us. John 14, a few chapters later, same gospel. He's talking about and looking forward to after he will be raised from the dead and ascend to the right hand of the Father, there's going to be something that's given to us, or better yet, someone. John 14, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. He's talking about the deposit that Christians get. The Holy Spirit. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you do know him because he remains with you and he will be in you. God's presence brings abiding company, company that is always there. He'll never leave us, never forsake us, always help us, encourage us, point us towards light and truth, the reality of our forgiveness. So that we'll never be alone. God's presence brings abiding company. Now, before I get into the third promise, I can tell I'm losing some of the children in the room because believe it or not, precise theology sometimes doesn't hold your attention. So I thought I would just stop and I will show you my tie. This has nothing to do with my sermon, by the way. So you're welcome. My daughter in first grade got this tie for me. And if you push the button, I think the battery's dying. No, this is not good timing. There you go. The shortest intermission in one of the shortest sermons I'll ever preach, and maybe one of the last, who knows? Back to theology, there's a bait and switch for you. So John, again, in the last book of the Bible, in the second to the last chapter in the Bible, glimpses heaven. He glimpses the throne and the one who sits on it. And this is the third promise, and this has to do with the promise of Jesus' return. John says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And get this. And the one who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. After the return of Jesus, he will judge evil. He will do away with it. It will be gone. He will be with his people. Tears, mourning, pain, that will be dealt with. And he says he will make all things new. God is all about presence. And the presence of God brings the renewal of all things. The renewal of all things. The hopes that we have for intimacy, to be away from pain, to not be misunderstood anymore, to not have regret. He is getting rid of that. He's making all things new. Just like it says in the book we read earlier. Let me quote that one more time because it says it better than I could. The Christmas story began with a promise, but it also ends with one. Jesus, who is the light of the world, came into the dark world and promises that one day he will return. The world will never be dark again. He wipes away the tears. He heals the nations. We experience peace and we flourish forevermore. Now, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. Jesus said as much. And if there's someone that claims to know when Jesus is coming back, that person is crazy. And we don't listen to crazy, okay? But what we do know is that if we believe and expect Jesus to come back, we live differently. That's one of the ways we speed along the coming. In John 9, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But if you don't have to be a Bible scholar to know this, that Jesus is no longer physically in the world right now. So what do we make of his light? Has his light disappeared, or did he provide another way? Did he have another means in mind? Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, Jesus told his followers this: you are the light of the world. I mean, these are Jesus' words. I'm not plagiarizing. I'm not making up scripture anymore. That's not what I'm doing right now. He says, you are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The Christmas story began with a promise. It ends with a promise that Jesus would enter the dark world, that he would defeat sin, Satan, and death, that he would return. And in the meantime, he would allow us to be the light on his behalf in this world. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you so much that you would come, that you would dwell with us. We thank you for the celebration that we get to have this time of year. It's so easy to get bogged down into obligation and consumerism and everything else that's going on. But Lord, I just pray that in your grace we would see you, that we wouldn't just go through motions and empty traditions, but that we would know that you came to be with us because you love us. For the joy set before you, you went to the cross for us. Lord, I pray that we would be filled and transformed with that love, so we would love others the same way, that we would be present in the way you have been present with us. Help us to believe. In your name, amen.